This is a good-looking group here, Keith. We are thankful for your presence today, grateful for you being here with us. I know we have a lot of folks visiting family in. We are thankful for your presence today. You just make our group look better. Come back next Sunday, okay? How about that? We're very thankful for your presence, though. I want to talk a little bit about resurrection today. There's a little bit of information I need to give at the beginning, okay? We do not know the exact time in which Jesus was raised from the dead. Okay, that's just a fact. And reading and watching several different things over the course of the last really 2 weeks, you know, it's interesting, we don't even know where Jesus was buried, right? There's two assumed places. There's the tomb of the garden, and then there's also the place, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, I think it is, where one of those two places is the site where they feel like Jesus was put in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. You might remember from verse 9 of Isaiah 53 that he would be laid with the transgressors or sinners. And he would also be buried with the rich. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, Isaiah knew hundreds of years before Jesus ever came and walked on this earth as a human being, that he would ultimately be buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took this Jesus and put him in a tomb, we really don't know where that was. And again, we don't know the exact time or date when that happened. Now, there's some people close, they feel, but even the calendar, the Roman calendar is off, and some people put it around AD 30, which is probably closer to the actual time because of the miscalculation of the calendar. Most of us are thinking AD 33, right? Which is what we've been told through the years, the day in which he died and was resurrected. But here's the point. Whether I know when it happened or where it happened, the truth is it happened. Amen. And I love Luke 24, verse 6, one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. He is not here, but he is risen. Do you realize our faith is based on that single event? Our faith is, because that event lets us know that Jesus Christ was really who he claimed to be. Jesus, they wanted Jesus to perform miracles, and he said, well, no miracle will be given to you except the sign of Jonah, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth the same period of time. And resurrection would be the proof in the pudding. The fact that Jesus was resurrected makes the claim that he is truly the Son of God valid. Now, let me say this. He was the Son of God from the very first moment. He was the Son of God from the very first moment. He did God-like things. If he was the Son of God, he could have done what he did in his earthly life. But because he was the Son of God, and many people saw those miracles, they still disbelieved. They did not believe. And as a result, Jesus says, if you believe for no other reason, at least believe because of the resurrection. In the churches of Christ, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection every time we meet on the Lord's Day. Amen? That's what we do. We come together. We remember the life of Christ. We think about his death. We understand that he was not dead for more than 3 days. He came back to life as God had promised. And as a result, our faith is in him, and every time we get together in his name, on his day, as his people, we remember his life, his death, his sacrifice. Every Sunday. And I know some people are really confused about why we do that every Sunday. You know, if you're looking back at the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, you might remember in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, in one of those Ten Commandments that God gave the children of Israel, one of the things that he said was, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Just a simple statement, a simple command that needed to be obeyed. And how many Sabbaths did they observe during the year? How many Sabbaths did they keep holy 52. He didn't have to say, I want you every Sabbath day to keep this holy. It was just assumed in the statement, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's every Sabbath. They kept it holy, as Dan has said. And the same is true. On the first day of the week, Acts 20 verse 7. Isn't it interesting? It's very similar. Exodus 20 verse 8, Acts 20 verse 7. We know that the early Christians met on the first day of the week to break bread, to observe the Lord's Supper. And so if you're thinking about an Easter celebration, we do that every Sunday. So you're in the right place, like Easter celebration. We do that every Sunday when we surround ourselves around the Lord's table, remembering the sacrifice that He gave for us. That because of His blood, we are forgiven. We do that every time we meet on the first day of the week. I want you to think about resurrection, though. We think about resurrection, but you know, in order to fully understand resurrection, you have to understand not just the fact that He came back to life, but that He came, number one. He came, right? Jesus came to this earth. He came, and then yes, He died. And so, in other words, He came and He came back. And guess what? Number three, He's coming again. Isn't that awesome that we serve a God who came? And even when at our worst, we put Him on the cross, we killed Him for our sins, not for His sins. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, speaking of Jesus Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. Now here, understand, Jesus died on the cross. They put Him in a borrowed tomb, but He came back. He ascended to heaven, and He's coming back. He came, He came back, He's coming again. How awesome is that? We serve a risen Savior, right? Our Savior is alive. Now, we have to think about that life that was perfect, who was in whom there was no sin. For this you were called, verse 21 of 1 Peter 2. Because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but He committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you are all sheep, like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We serve a Savior who died on a cross for our sins, was placed in a borrowed tomb, but came back to life. How awesome is that? That just makes our faith valid. Now understand, because it's in the fact that He was resurrected, okay? Everything that you believe about Scripture, because Jesus talked about the Old Testament, He is speaking the New Testament. And Jesus, because He was raised from the dead, that event makes our faith valid. Now, understand that His resurrection, God did keep a promise. In Acts chapter 2, He would not, as was proclaimed in the Old Testament, He would not allow His Holy One to see corruption. Would not allow Him to stay in the tomb. And so certainly God raised Him from the dead according to Acts chapter 2. Where these guys are now on fire. They were scattered before the cross. Think about that. Resurrection brings them back together. But understand that Jesus was raised so that you and I could be raised. He was raised so that we could be raised. In the passage that Asher read a few moments ago from Romans chapter 6, did you catch all of that resurrection talk? That because we were baptized, the way this chapter starts, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we just keep on sinning so God would pile up so much more grace? Verse 3, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized, He's reminding them of their resurrection. When they were raised from the waters of baptism, just as Jesus was raised back to life. You remember in Romans chapter 6, you were raised to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old man has died, the new man is now alive in Jesus. He was raised so that we could be resurrected. So think about your resurrection day. A lot of we're thinking about Jesus for certain, but He did it so that we could be raised. Think back to your resurrection day when you were immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away. How awesome is that? But it wasn't just for that resurrection day. It's also because one day you and I will be raised again, right? Talked about this so much, at least John wrote about it so much, Jesus talked about it so much, that we would again one day be raised. Our loved ones would be raised. This is why we should not fear death, because we will one day come back to life. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, again, the concept of us being resurrected is right here, and most people don't even see it or think about it. You remember in John chapter 14, beginning verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go." So Jesus came. He came back. Now, when he came back, he ascended back to heaven. He said, "And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Now get this. And what? "Receive you to myself." How is that going to happen if you have died? Resurrection. Right? Resurrection. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about. "And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, how do we know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." And let me just say that greatest work is resurrection. So just believe me when you see me resurrected, and know that when I go, I'm coming back. When we take the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verses 23 and following, especially verse 26, what do we do when we take the Lord's Supper? We proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. We believe He's coming back, right? Resurrection, though, the foundation is all through the Scripture. So understand, He came back, and He's coming again. But understand that His resurrection was for your resurrection and my resurrection in the waters of baptism. And it was for your resurrection and my resurrection ultimately one day when Jesus comes back to claim His own. And He talks so much about this idea, this concept, this resurrection, coming back and life and judgment. Look at John chapter 5, beginning with verse 24. Notice what John says, what Jesus says here as John records it. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but pass from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Remember, "I will come again," John 14, "and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He had taught earlier, he says, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is also the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Understand, Jesus says, I'm coming back. And one day, because I was resurrected, you will be resurrected too. This is so vital to the foundation of faith, this event in the life and history of the early church. As a matter of fact, when you start to talk about the early church and you look at Acts chapter 1, you might remember that when Judas, and you know the story of Judas, Judas hung himself before Jesus was crucified. And after Jesus' resurrection, there has to be someone to take Judas's place. And you might remember that someone was Matthias. They ended up casting lots. Matthias was selected. But notice the qualifications that are given for the one who would take Judas's place, Matthias. Notice the qualifications that are given in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us at all times that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day he was taken up, of these from us, one of these must become a witness of his resurrection. They had to see Jesus resurrected. And I want to tell you, that's the one event that set the early church on fire. That's the one event that motivated them and moved them in their faith. If you and I truly believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, let me just say, we're not going to be quiet about it. We're going to be active in our faith because we believe we serve a risen Savior who is coming back. You might remember in John chapter 20, beginning with verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. There it is. Jesus has been resurrected. They're telling Thomas, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see the resurrected Lord in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He wanted, resurrection was going to be the proof for Thomas as well. I think one thing we forget when we're hard on doubting Thomas, as we call him, is that the other 11 had, or at least at that time, the other 10 had seen the resurrection. They'd already seen him. They had already seen the resurrection. All Thomas is saying, I want the same proof that you got. Right? And so he says, unless I put my fingers here and put my fingers in your side, see the nail prints. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. They said to Thomas, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. What was the difference? Resurrection. He got to see the resurrected Lord. That's the event that fortifies our faith. Again, we serve a risen Savior. Again, this was the passage I alluded to a few moments ago in Matthew chapter 12. You remember what the Lord said, but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I mean, it's interesting. You think about the obituaries in the Houston Chronicle. I mean, loved ones have died. They tell a little bit of their story. And that's it. Think about how the Jerusalem Chronicle would have read. Jesus died. That's it. Buried in Joseph's tomb. That's it. This individual who claimed to be the light of the world was put in a dark tomb. This individual who said that he would give life to everyone has now died. And I'm sure that on the chronicle of that day concerning the death of Christ, they thought it was all over. But praise God, it was not. Amen. You remember In Luke chapter 24, we read verse 6 where they went early to the tomb and they had heard about the resurrected Lord. And you remember that those two men on the road to Emmaus were sort of downtrodden. They were, you know, just kind of like all their hopes were dashed. And they end up meeting up with Jesus. Don't have a clue that He's walking with them. And it's not until they see and know that they are walking with the resurrected Lord that they pause and they ask that question, did our hearts not burn within us when He walked with us? I think that's a question we need to ponder this morning. Because the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead means we're never alone. That He's always with us. And He promises to be with us forever, and He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We are walking with Jesus. And so the question that you and I should ponder is our hearts burning within us because we love Jesus so much? The resurrection changes the headline of the obituary for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what was being written in papers and what was being talked about? That Galilean, that Nazarene, that guy that everybody was following, we heard he came back to life. And how could that be? But you remember in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verses 1 through 4, he tells the crux, the gospel in a nutshell, is that Jesus died, He was buried, and He was resurrected. And about verses 5 and following, He was seen by the apostles and then almost by over 500 men at one time. Not almost. Over 500 men at one time. People who saw the resurrected Lord, it changed their life. This is an unbelievable experience. I mean, think about where they were before Jesus is resurrected. They're watching Him die, this Lord of life, this one who said that if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father, is now dead, or is at least dying on a cross. And where were all these people? They were scattering all over the place, denying that they had even walked with Him. And there's faithful women there at the cross, and John was there at the cross, and few people were there. But you see, resurrection, it changes our outlook about who we are. Because all of those sinners that were scattered because Jesus was resurrected, He forgave. You remember when He walked through the door and when they saw Him post-resurrection, He said, "Peace be with you." They got to experience peace because Jesus was raised from the dead. And all of those sinners that were scattered are now brought back together. I want to tell you, that's exactly who we are this morning. A group of sinners who have been scattered but brought back together because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where are you this morning? Where are you in your walk of faith with Him? Remember, He came. John 1, verses 1 through 3. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Jesus came, and He died. But praise God, He came back. And He ascended to God in heaven. He is at God's right hand. And one day, God's going to call a close to this world. He's going to shut the curtains, and life will be over, and this earth will melt with fervent heat. As Peter says, everything will be burned up. Where are we going to be in that day as people of faith if we're still alive? He's coming back. If we've died, and some of us have loved ones who have died, there's going to be a great reunion. He's going to raise everyone. Some to eternal life and some to eternal condemnation. The thing about it this morning is it's your choice as to where your post-resurrection state will be. It's up to you. You get to decide. If you're faithfully in Jesus Christ, you've been raised from the waters of baptism, you've been covered by the blood of His Son Jesus, then praise God, you will be raised as a person of faith to life eternal with Him forever. If you've never obeyed the gospel, or you've obeyed and have turned away, if He comes back, you will be raised to an eternal life of condemnation. The same Jesus who talked about heaven also talked about hell. And the reason that He was raised from the dead was because He took the one thing that God hated the most to the grave, and that's our sins. It's our sin that separated God. That's why He died on the cross. Not for His own sin, but for our sin. And He was resurrected so you and I could be resurrected. And ultimately be resurrected in the end to live with Him eternally. Where are you at this moment in your walk with Him? If you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning by believing that He is the eternal Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as Lord, being baptized to have your sins washed away, living faithfully for Him, in your Christian walk, because we are walking with Christ. If you need to respond, please come while together we stand and sing.